Good evening, everybody. Mr. Clerk, could you please call the roll?
Alderman David DeFronzo.
Here.
Alderman Carlo Carlozzi.
Here.
Alderwoman Suzanne Bolinsky.
Present.
Alderwoman Toni Lynn Collins. Alderman Michael Trueworthy.
Here.
Alderman Adam Platush.
Here.
Alderman Don Naples. Alderman Jamie G. Antonio. Alderman Robert Schmedley. Five present. Mr. Chairman, you have a quorum. And would you also please seat Alderman Wilfredo Pabone and Alderman Daniel Salerno?
Thank you, Mr. Clerk. Just for the record, Alderman G. Antonio and Alderman Naples are away on vacation. Alderwoman Collins is ill this evening, and I believe Alderman Schmedley had a prior commitment. Can you please read the legal notice into the record for us?
The Herald Classified Advertising, New Britain, Connecticut. Please publish the following legal notice on Sunday, June 28, 2015. Legal notice. The Committee on Administration, Finance, and Law will hold a public hearing on July 1st, 2015 at 7 p.m. in the Council Chambers, City Hall, 27 West Main Street, New Britain, Connecticut, for resolution number 33114, proposed amendment to the Code of Ordinance pertaining to the Code of Ethics, and resolution 33157, proposed amendment to the Code of Ordinances to require 3 days between a bonding subcommittee meeting and the Common Council special meeting. Lawrence J. Hermanowski, Clerk of Committees.
Thank you very much, Mr. Clerk. And we're going to begin the meeting with a public hearing, which we'll call to order at this time. The time is 7:19 p.m. We have two items before us on the public hearing. For the public hearing, resolution 33114, thank you very much, and resolution 33157. I have one person signed up to speak on the sheet, but I'll also ask if there's anybody else that would like to speak on either one of the resolutions after Ms. Cheney's done speaking. So, Ms. Cheney, if you'd like to come up.
Thank
just
you.
Please state your name and address for the record.
My name is Catherine Cheney. I live at 6 Kent Road. I'm here tonight as chairperson of the Ethics Commission, and I have with me two other members, Marion Fishbein and Katie Blint. I just want to, before you take up this issue, I want to talk a little bit about the process we use, because I've heard some questions. First of all, we didn't make any of this stuff up. We spent from January until May looking at codes of ethics from a number of Connecticut municipalities and state. I believe we looked at the judicial code of ethics for judges. We cherry-picked things that we liked. I don't know where my file is. I think I left it in a bag at work, of what we picked from. But I do know we used some from New Haven, some from West Hartford. There may have been something from, there was something else. Not small municipalities, but larger municipalities. I have personally been asked, and I've heard the question, in fact, I was asked by Robert Sirachi from the Herald, was this in, did you do this because of the most recent Ethics Commission hearing? You know what, I can't say that we didn't, because if it were not for the most recent commission, the most recent hearing, none of us would have had the chance to really read through our code of ethics. It's pretty weak, especially compared to other municipalities. Are there things that we put in there that I expect won't go through? Absolutely. But, you know, I have some experience with union contracts. You have to ask for more than you want to get part of what you want. I do think that we need a stronger code, and to me, and I'm speaking only personally, I'm not speaking on behalf of the commission, the two most important parts are the stronger introduction to why we have a code of ethics and the new section that we added that would require all elected officials and city municipal workers to sign off every 2 years that they have received a copy of the code, that they have read the code, and that they understand the code. I think we can't ask people to abide by it if they're not familiar with it. And I think that sometimes just a reminder that there is a code of ethics as an elected official, and there was just a big article in the paper last week about a city employee who got into some trouble. you know, that's, none of us is perfect. None, all of us have made decisions that maybe we wish we hadn't made, or we had made different decisions. There's, we can't legislate or regulate perfect behavior by anybody. We're lucky that our elected officials are upstanding citizens, and that's why you've been elected for the most part. But it doesn't hurt to be reminded of who you serve, and that you have a responsibility to people. So we are going to be around if anybody has any questions while you're talking about it. We'll be around to answer them. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ms. Cheney. Is there anyone else that's here to speak in favor of this change? Anyone else here to speak in favor of this change? For a third and final time, anyone here to speak in favor of this change? anyone here to speak against this change? Anyone here to speak against? Anyone here to speak against? We'll move on to resolution 33157. Anyone here to speak in favor? Anyone here to speak in favor? Anyone here to speak in favor? Anyone here to oppose the proposed ordinance change 33157? Anyone here to oppose it? Anyone here to oppose it? Third and final time. Seeing none, we'll close this public hearing at 7:24 p.m. We'll move right into the agenda. The first item before us is resolution 33114, a proposed amendment to the Code of Ordinances pertaining to the Code of Ethics. Is there a motion?
Make a motion to accept.
Second.
Motion to accept by Alderman Chouwerthy, seconded by Alderwoman Valinsky. Discussion.
I yield the floor to, I know I'm not the maker, I'm the maker of the motion, but it's your resolution, so I...
Will I be able to speak with?
Sure.
Absolutely. You're speaking for the purposes of discussion by the non-voting member.
So all you, Alderman Sloan.
All right, thank you. Through you, Mr. Chair. I think it's just a summary, and I would like to echo some of the comments by Ms. Cheney, I believe. Like anything else, this is the process that we have in order to strengthen or improve or sometimes weaken resolutions that basically are the law of the city of New Britain, as it were. I think this is, an example of due diligence on the part of any commission to come forward and try to make some alternatives, changes, whether it's based on previous experiences or I'd like to consider the fact that I've watched the Ethics Commission address innumerable issues over the last decades. Very often the results were not necessarily what I might have personally supported or as a taxpayer or as an elected official. My position is that I think it really is to the better of the city to go through these, take some time to do that. I don't think this is anything that has to be, is an urgency of immediately tomorrow, if that be the case. I mean, if it requires, you know, more diligence on the part of the committee or the council, but I do think it needs to be, these issues here need to be addressed. So I signed on, by the way, for the record, in support of the resolution, but I knew I was not on the committee, and I apologize that Alderman Giuntoni was not here. I could not be here tonight. I just think it really needs that we need to take stock at aspects of our ethics efforts throughout the city at all times. I've always said that there are certain things that everyone defines them differently. We all define conflict of interest differently. We all find special interest differently. We all look at them from different perspectives. And I don't personally believe that it's ideological. I don't believe it's about partisanship. From my standpoint, any ethics determinations that are made, we all have to live under those rules. And like anything else, I think we have to periodically look at them. And so I certainly encourage that we have that discussion, whatever this committee does to move forward. It's in your hands, and I trust that, we'll make the right decision to really take a review and take a good time to do it. That's really all I have to say, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Further discussion?
Okay, Mr. Chair. Without Alderman Giantonio, I guess I'll just speak to, I'm not sure what we're going to do tonight, since some of the folks who are obviously, who have indicated that they really are very interested in some of the changes aren't here this evening, but the last section of this is, personally, fine with me. I have no problem, no issues with signing off on the code of ethics. I think that seems like a reasonable enough thing. We already do that it would be an, as it applies to employees, I think it applies to employees here. I read that. They're not currently given anything. As elected appointed officials, we do have to sign off every 2 years on our business interests. So it's not ethics, but it's a disclosure report, if you will.
Can I just clarify something? It would also
please come up to the microphone.
Oh, sorry.
That would also apply to any appointed official, so all commissioners would also be subject to that.
Okay, right. And I'll go back, let me just give you my history with this, because this code was rewritten to be the current ethics code, as I'm sure you guys know, but maybe others don't know. When Alderman Sullivan was on the council, I guess that was probably 2005, look here, 2005-ish, somewhere around there. And he spent, I know he and put together, established a committee of at least 10 folks. There was clergy on it, commissioners from the Ethics Commission. I think a couple alder people were on it as well. And, he became known as the ethics kind of guru. He really took it up as his cause and spent it must have been a year going over our ethics code and doing something probably similar to exactly what you guys did here. So that's how we've arisen with the code that we have before us. Now, one of the things that used to be in the ethics code that's not in the ethics code anymore, which is proposed to be put back in here, is the phrase impropriety or the appearance of impropriety. And that was, when we were discussing this the last time this came up, that was a topic of conversation at that time. Should it be explicitly written in? Should it not be explicitly written out? And I think there's arguments to be made that good intention people have different opinions on that. Personally, I do not think that it should be. I think that's too vague. I think the ethics code should be very clear so that the people, so people get a copy of it. They know what it doesn't. You can never govern. I don't know that we should necessarily write laws that govern behavior, but so you're not, we may not like how somebody deals with something or whatnot, but that's not necessarily an ethics violation. If it's the appearance of impropriety, then you leave that. It can beg the question when people are interpreting it. Well, is that, is there an appearance, and then what's that level? Where do we get there? So that would be. I imagine that'll be a topic of conversation here as we get into this. Interest arising from blood marriage or the addition of this or close business association. I would suggest close be more succinctly defined or perhaps expanded out. Because what does close mean? And that's when you get back into the interpretation of, one
person says I'm close, we're pals, I'm friends, does that mean a close business relationship or does it not? And does that just become someone's interpretation or, people differ on that. The definitions, I don't particularly find, okay, if we want to define it, this would be on page 2, with the spouse, dependent children, parent, birth, adoptive, that's a little more clarification. I think that makes it very clear because I know when we had that, I'm fine with that. I would like to hear other people's opinions, but I don't think there's anything that's, well, I would think it'd be out of whack on that one. I think it is very important to have that be clear because sometimes, you know, people who are on commissions, people who are elected, we know people. That's how we got here. So it oftentimes it's, they live down the street from me. My family's known their family for 30 years. I can't vote on this. Well, unless you have any business, really, unless you have dealing, just knowing someone isn't enough. They may feel like family and whatnot, but, you know, should that disqualify you or should you feel like you shouldn't be voting on that? If you have business relationships or it's that's when I think it should be defined. So that's just very clear. No, can't do it. Violation or no, because we're not allowed to abstain. We have to vote when something's put for us unless the process for going through that, unless we submit a letter to the Ethics Commission saying why we're abstaining and whatnot, or why we're going to proceed with the a vote, even though there may be a perception that we shouldn't. I don't disagree with any statement that's written in the title or the purpose, but I don't know that it needs to be explicitly written in there. And I'll be quite honest with you. I've seen the Ethics Commission be used as a political process and a tool in the political process. And it has bothered me greatly in the past. It didn't happen against me, and I'm not referring to anything of recently either. This was a different ethics commission years ago, and people didn't like the way somebody acted, or they didn't particularly care for their personality, their temperament, and they went to the ethics commission all the time. And then eventually they found him guilty. They said, no, you're guilty. You're not guilty because that's not the term this week, but you're in violation of the ethics code. And at that time, in my humble opinion, it was because they didn't like him. And he was an interesting character. There's no doubt about that. But did I think he was, I do not want to open the door to having that be you. If people don't like the way that people act, if people don't like the decisions that are made, then we get more people elected. And we saw that happen this past 2 years ago. Causes think about it. People won't, that's the political process. It shouldn't go over to the Ethics Commission used as a political tool. And so that is my worry that with those two language changes specifically that I reference, appearance of impropriety, I do think you should define close business relationship a little bit more clearly. And they overly, like I said, I don't disagree with anything that's stated in the title or purpose, but would that then allow for, with the appearance of impropriety, someone to say that they, public office is a public trust, the trust of the essential government function. So I think that person may have violated my trust, and I therefore think that is an appearance of impropriety, and so I find them in violation of the ethics code. And I think to a reasonable person, I could see that happening. I could see that happening. So that's my two cents. It's a worthy discussion.
Thank you, Alderman. Any other discussion, Alderman Carlozzi?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, in light of the fact that especially Alderman Gentonio is not here tonight and our committee is rather, there's quite a few people that are missing, I'm not so sure that we should take any action on this tonight. You know, having said that, I want to thank, is she still here?
Yes.
Okay. I want to thank the chairperson. I want to thank the chair, Kathy Cheney, and the committee for their work on this. You know, ethics really is the bedrock of government. And I think ethics is extremely important in government. And it bothers me greatly when I see people take advantage of their position or take advantage of their rank, whether they are an elected official, whether they're a government official in some other capacity, whether they're an employee. You know, we see people constantly using their title or their position to better themselves in some capacity, and it really doesn't do. That's not why you're there. That's not why people elect you. That's not why you're appointed. You know, when the mayor makes appointments to commissions, she's in this case she's making appointments that she feels are in the best interest of that particular board and for the community. And you know, everyone should really fall under an ethics code. On the flip side, I would hate to see ethics used, the ethics commission used as that, as Alderman Trueworthy was saying. I would hate to see that commission used as the batting cage when you don't like somebody and you just file in complaint after complaint after complaint, and eventually something will, you know, just let's just get something to stick to tar and feather that person. And you know, in the past, we've had some interesting characters on the ethics commission, attorneys who would go around and pontificate to everybody else about their behavior, and they themselves are now sitting in jail. So it's pretty interesting on some of the characters that we've had on the ethics commission and how they fell from grace. But if we're going to have this discussion, again, I'd like to have it when we have more people on the committee. But I personally will expand on, I'll make a motion anyway, to expand on, and not immediate family, but family, and expand those, what's included in there. So I think there's a lot of categories that are missing right now. And I say that because in my company, we have a long list of family that I cannot, without having somebody else in the office act on, I cannot do certain things with their files. And the list of family is very expansive. I think this is actually quite limited. So I would be looking to expand that tremendously. So I really think this is important work. It should not be something that we should rush into. I would like for it to, by the way, it says page 1 of 4, and then there's only 3 pages, so I'm not sure if there's a page. Okay, all right. I just noticed that, by the way, Madam Chair. I just noticed that. So I would like to discuss this when there are more people at this committee level. And I just want us to be very, very careful of what we do and how we do it. I think we want to make sure the words that we're using. When I saw the word close business association, well, you know, if I work for TD Bank and I'm at one of the local, you know, banks here, okay, our clerk, whose wife was a teller at TD Bank, and because TD Bank processed something for the city, next thing you know, you saw the name of, at that time, that mayor at that time showed the name of Teresa Hermanowski as receiving like $400,000. Well, that was TD Bank. Teresa Hermanowski was simply a teller. But is that a close relationship? Does that mean that because Alderman Hermanowski's wife worked at TD Bank and TD Bank had a business interest with the city or was doing business for the city, so I don't know what the word close means. I'm just gonna use that. And that was something that during my term on the council came up. Not under this mayor, not under the last mayor, but 2 mayors ago. And we saw that, and if you want to go back to the minutes of that meeting, I'm the one that spoke up about it. So I think we really do need to be careful of how we, you know, some of the words that we use. So, but I want to thank Chairwoman Cheney, and her committee for their work. You know, you also said that you picked and choose. I wouldn't mind seeing some of the other stuff that maybe is there.
Anybody who'd like, I can forward. I have some on electronically, and I could forward it to. Let me see if I could dig it up. I we got lots of copies of lots of things, and I think it's probably on Joe Skelly's, if he has it, but let me see.
I wouldn't mind looking at some other things. Maybe there's something that the committee, maybe the commission didn't feel was, but maybe some of us might feel
absolutely,
like, no,
we want that. And, you know, I appreciate this. I think we all appreciate the fact that you're willing to discuss it. I don't think any of us feel that we presented the be-all and end-all code of ethics that every municipality should have, and I know there's things that are up for, you know, discussion. Mm-hmm. Like I said, you put a lot of stuff in there and hoping that if it's there, if it stays, it does. If it doesn't, maybe it will stimulate some discussion. And the bottom line is that's what we would like. You know, as we were going through some of the code, it just, unless you were doing business with the city for financial reasons, that's very clear. Other than that, there's a lot of gray area. And yes, I know you can over legislate things and you can under, and so much is open for interpretation, but I do feel that we all feel, all five of us felt that we just needed a little more in there because we did actually read it. So I don't know if every committee before has actually read it, but we did. So I will dig that up and I will find it. Actually, maybe you can forward it all. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Alderwoman Belinsky for the first time.
Thank you. And I also want to thank the committee. I appreciate you providing the information, and, you know, being on commissions is not always, you know, a thankful process, if you will. I do have a couple things. I would agree to the comments that were already said in that, because Alderman Giantonio isn't here. I think we can discuss it this evening, but I don't think we should take any action until he's here to potentially offer what he feels about the resolution as well. I do have a couple questions, first of all, a couple comments and then a couple questions. And some of the information in the title and purpose, I do agree, and I actually have a lot of the information from the other towns and what they say, and I can see, like, part of this you pulled from Bristol and some others in that, but I do see where they've talked about both personal and private gain, and I think we should probably consider that or look at that in the language in other towns. I agree, and I will tell you, you know, I somehow recall that we had to, maybe it was when the ethics commission, when the ethics rules were just renewed, I could swear we used to have to see them and sign off on them in the beginning of a term. I don't know if it's just, or if we did it in the past and maybe we don't do it, or we just did it in 2005 because they changed, they shared with all the council members. You have to do it for HUD. Maybe that's what it is that we get it when we do it for HUD, because I could swear that we have to do that already. So I don't think that anybody should have an issue with that. But I was surprised, actually, that brother and sister wasn't in there, and it wasn't something I ever thought about until recently. I also agree with some of the other items that are included in the immediate family with regards to partner or dependent, you know, dependent children of the parent, I guess, is already there. But there are some other things I think should be considered. I agree with the subjectivity of the word close. In private interest, I think we should also talk about private gain as well. And I have a question through you, Mr. Chairman, to Corporation Counsel. And that is in 2-448, there is the addition of the word officer, every officer, official, and or employee. So I just wonder why that was added and what difference it makes in the language. The purpose, I guess, would be the better way to say it.
Joe Skelly worked on this, so I'm not exactly sure, but I can certainly find out for you. I don't know what, as I'm sitting here thinking, I don't know what an officer would be versus an official.
Right, right.
When I think officials, I'm thinking elected officials, appointed commissioners, that type of thing. I don't know what officer, unless you're talking about
department heads or something like that.
Yeah.
That's,
yeah.
Okay, if you could just clarify that.
I will.
It would, I'd be interested to know, and I think the body would as well.
I will email it.
And other than that, those are the only things that I saw that I had comment on. But I do, you know, because we're not gonna. I was like looking through this to see if there's some other notes, but I think we should look at some of the, as Alderman Carlozzi said, look at some of the other language in the language from other towns to see if potentially there are other ways to expand this as well. So I appreciate the work of the committee and the discussion. Thank you.
Alderman Salero.
Yes, second time, and thank you very much again. I am pleased that the committee will look forward to do this again, and I want to applaud the commission for bringing it forward. I don't think this is a horse that can be beaten enough, frankly. I think that ethics needs to be always improved. We, and I say not we here collectively or individually, but generally societally, we tend to look the other way on so many things so often. I just want to kind of, and why the conversation has to happen in my own experience of, I work for the Commission on Human Rights and Opportunities, and cases of discrimination, allegations of discrimination come from every corner in the state, let's just say, including our Howlett City. And very often I have to be asked about, you know, how I make that determination. And there are sometimes I, you know, I have to recuse myself from cases, obviously anything that I'm directly or indirectly related. But because I'm an alderman, for example, does that mean that I have to recuse myself from every citizen that comes from the city of New Britain if there were a case? No, because that's a discretionary issue. And I think that's important that the more we outline, the more we refine it, the less opportunity for people to either take advantage or look the other way. I mean, I think that's just a, I remember one example, if I might give it, is that was a, it was a law firm and confidentiality is what it is, but a law firm that was representing a particular education establishment in another part of the state, and I happen to know a very close person who actually once worked for me. And was now a partner in a law firm. So I went to my manager at the time, and I said, you know, I explained the situation, and her position was, well, he was a partner in a law firm. And she said, well, is he handling the case? And I said, no. I says, well, then don't recuse yourself. I went the extra mile to say, because I really thought, but because it was not the individual who was particularly involved in handling the case, I didn't have to recuse myself. And I say that, in, by the way, in commendation to our, my fellow council members who have recused themselves on issues that even I said, why? But lying on the side of caution, I think, is something we do. And there's two big reasons for that, and that I'm so pleased that we're going to look forward to down the road. One is for our own self-edification, and clearing our own consciences, but it is this, you can say it's political, I don't really care. It's the best thing you can say to the citizens. If we know that we're being self-questioning about what we do, we tell the community, they take a much better view of what we are ethically as people who are elected officials or appointed officials. It no longer becomes, I want people to come and be on the Ethics Commission 5 years from now, because they saw that the Ethics Commission was ethical, that they really tried to improve things. So, I mean, I'm really kind of passionate about that part of it, because there isn't anyone in this room or anywhere else, frankly, that doesn't have the greatest of intentions. The question is, how do we check ourselves? How do we check each other? So I think this process is going to be very cleansing, and I think that's why I encourage it so much. I'm glad we're not doing it tonight. I think it's important to have the majority here. I think once we put this on the agenda next time, everyone who's on the committee will know that it was, you know, they will be here. It won't be so freestanding. So I just need to express that, because I don't think there's anything more that we can do than something like this for the long term. That's it.
Thank you, Alderman. Alderman Giuliani?
Just to clarify also, I wanted to, as Alderman Carlozzi was just speaking, my statements about what happened some number of years ago, or he been reminding me something, that's not just our town either. Mm. It happens every couple years, and it's on by both parties across the state. They go to the Ethics Commission when they, and it infuriates me, because it does one of two things. It does two things. one, because some aren't written the way, some aren't written the way that ours written, or that if you are only in found in violation, that so that immediately a claim is made, false could be valid, could not be, but immediately it's out there, and so there's an accusation without a trial, for lack of a better word, and it gives that a doubt in the public's mind of whether or not. So it becomes, and it also at the end of the day it weakens what the whole purpose of an ethics commission should be doing by taking, because you guys don't want to, I've never met an ethics commissioner who's been on ethics that wants to be caught in the middle of a political fight. Mm. I'd much rather say, is it a violation or is it not? What did the person do? Should they have done it? And then we'll make our decision accordingly. you guys want to yell at each other or run for office, go ahead. But that's not our job here. That has been my experience with the ethics commissioners. So I just wanted to clarify, that's not just our little town or our experiences either. You know, it happens happens all over the place, and it is very frustrating when it does happen. So thank you.
Alderman Carlos?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I have one question. Actually, I think our Corporation Counsel might be best to address this. The appointments to the commissioners who are on the Ethics Commission, do they change with a change in leadership in the mayor's office? Are they mayoral appointments, or do they, are they like the ZBA where they sometimes stay into the next term of a new person? And then I have a follow-up question, sir.
They're supposed to be staggered, but I do not believe it's time.
I'd have to get the code of ordinances. I don't know what their terms are, but typically it's set by the code of ordinances on how long their terms are. So
because
I can answer you.
Okay.
Ms. Cheney was just saying they have longer than 2-year terms.
Okay.
I can answer.
Sure.
There's an inconsistency in the code of ordinances and since the new charter, how they're appointed. They're established by the code of ordinances with staggered terms. So no, as unlike other commissions and like ZBA, mm-hmm. When a new mayor comes in, most people are wiped out. In this one, they're not. But the inconsistency in the ordinances is that it is under this one and a few other commissions are still left with shall be appointed by the mayor with the consent of the common council. That's the inconsistency there that it's been interpreted now that the charter is that doesn't have to happen anymore.
But I think I heard Ms. Cheney said that the terms are longer than 2-year terms though. And are they flux? So I guess
they are.
Okay. And the point, yes, ma'am.
If I remember correctly, when we signed on, it was for I think a 3-year term. It was a 3-year expiration when we signed on, not a 2-year. So we would all be eligible. Jarrell Hargraves has resigned recently, but we would all be eligible through 2016, I believe. So.
And you know, and thank you, Ms. Cheney. And so, Mr. Chairman, my point of bringing that up is that we want to be especially careful of what we do and how we, if we're going to make any changes and why we make them, because one of the things is, and I went back to, you know, you don't want the Ethics Commission to be the one that's going to be handling these quote unquote political disputes and being used in the middle of a squabble for political purposes, because while this commission is what it is today, you know, if there's a new mayor, composition of the board can change, and while maybe this board is not used for political purposes, another next board might be used for political purposes, I don't want the Ethics Commission to be in any way, shape, or form find themselves in the middle of dealing with political squabbles. So I want to be very careful. I want, you know, the spirit of ethics addressed, but I also want to be very careful with the language so that the commissioners don't find themselves in the middle of any controversies down the road.
If I might, Alderman Collins, yes. I think that, you know, I think your point is well taken. I think that maybe is something for us to consider also. As long as these positions are unilaterally appointed by the mayor, It's going to lead to the appearance that the body is politically motivated, whether it is or not. And so perhaps we need to revisit whether or not the mayor presents a list of candidates to the council, and then the council gives their approval or offers a compromise, because at least if there's some degree of cooperation between the mayor's office and the council, it gives us the ability after the fact to say, hey, everybody had a chance to have their say, everybody had a chance to review the candidates. You can't then come back after the fact and say it's been a political decision or it's been a political process. Everybody knew who was going to hold those positions from the time that they were appointed. So
yeah.
I think that may be something for us to consider. Sorry, Alderman, you had the floor. Alderman Carlos.
That's exactly it. I mean, that may be, you know, maybe that is something that we look at as well. I think there are some things that are sacred in city government. An ethics commission, if it's going to function properly, needs to be one of those that there's not even the appearance or the of an impropriety, if we want to use those words. Like our ZBA, how terms are shuffled around and they're not everyone's leaving at the same time. We have done things where the mayor, there's five people, the mayor makes so many appointments, the council makes so many appointments, you know, one from each party, what have you, so that there's a consensus on who's appointed to some of these commissions that you don't want them at all to be. It can be looked at in many different ways. So thank you, Mr. Chairman. That's all.
Alderman Chorley?
Just to clarify, that is the current language. But unfortunately, it's not followed of the ordinances. It doesn't happen because the ruling that I believe it was Corp Counsel Molnarczyk at the time, all appointments are made by the mayor. So, and that became the law of the land after the charter revision, came through, and that then that interpretation, which was debated, whether or not something needed the approval of the Common Council or not. And so it's still written in there as the language. That's why I say the inconsistency is still written in language, but as a practice, no, it's not done. And as a practice, are the staggered terms done? No, not really. They're done every, you got, I'm assuming all of you were appointed in like 2 years and a half ago. No, you've stayed on, you were prior. Okay, good. Todd has been on there for, that's right.
Any other discussion? Okay, thank you. I just wanted to thank the members of the Ethics Commission for being here tonight. So we'll likely table this, and then I would think we'd likely take it up at our August meeting, which I'm not sure of the date offhand, but it'll be about a month from today. So I have some comments, but I'll save them for next time because I'd rather wait till everybody's here.
Motion to table.
Motion to table by Alderman Carbozzi. It's non-debatable. Is there a second? Seconded by Alderman Platosh. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion's tabled. We're going to move on. Thank you very much for coming tonight.
Thank you, ladies.
It'd be August 5th.
August 5th.
Ah, my sister's birthday.
Let's move on to Resolution 33157, proposed amendment to the Code of Ordinances to require 3 days between the holding of a bond subcommittee meeting and the Common Council special meeting. Is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman.
Alderman Chulworthy.
Make a motion to accept and refer back to the full council with a favorable recommendation.
Seconded
by Alderwoman Belinsky. Discussion.
Mr. Chairman, I am. This is a.
It's freezing.
A change. It actually is a little chilly in here. I'm never cold, so I'm going to say it's just fine. Hopefully, this doesn't take too long. This is the purpose of this. We go through. We have bonding meetings. And they are, for all intents and purposes, to the public and to many members of the council, newer members of the council, members of the Board of Finance. They are confusing as all day long when we have them. It's very difficult to have that. So what this does is it simply adds that the bonding subcommittee should have a meeting. and that there should be 3 days between when they have that meeting and when the actual final vote on the bonding subject is. We oftentimes get these, what do we do? A bonding meeting maybe a couple times a year, I'd say, on average. There's usually been a lot of discussion, a lot of back and forth, or at least a lot of heads up that have come from, it's obviously between the mayor's office and members of the council. But it's never fully clear, you know, until it finally comes over our way and we're able to have some discussions. And they're called oftentimes, it's just the tradition or of this body that they've been called at 6 o'clock on or the night of the vote. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we find some things out that, you know, boy, I wish I had a couple more. I'd like to investigate that tomorrow. Or would you mind getting back to me? Which is oftentimes we have that. Can you get back to me on that one tomorrow?
In 10 minutes.
And unfortunately, they don't have the paperwork there or whatnot. So this would simply say that it's 3 days when we have the committee. The committee's all here. And then it goes back to the full council for which would then there'd be a special meeting. I'm not by any means wedded to the 3 days. Could be a week, could be 2 days, 48 hours. In my experience up here, I've never encountered a bonding proposal that was of such an immediate need that it needed to be done within 48 hours or it didn't happen between meetings, that is to say. By the time it got onto the agenda, it usually was at the point where it needs to go, or there was significant will to make that item go. But that had been brewing for 3 months, 6 months, however long that had, you know, kind of those conversations had happened. But they hadn't been out there. You know, there had been conversations that had been had, mostly internal conversations, internal emails and whatnot. So for the purposes of disclosure, transparency, making sure the public understands, because people come in, we basically already discussed a $13 million bond 20 minutes ago, and then, you know, we have a special meeting, and the proposal on a $13 million bond, nobody says anything, all those in favor, signify by saying yes, I approve, no, nay, boom, boom, $13 million, just gone like that, and everybody goes, what's going on? We know, but they don't. So that's the purpose of this.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. So I totally concur with what the alderman just mentioned. And, you know, when I was the chair of the bonding committee, talk about not knowing anything. All you got was the little notice, the warrant, that there's going to be a special meeting. And I'm like, well, where the heck is the rest of the stuff that goes with this? And it wasn't given to us, basically, until we started that meeting. So the idea that there is a meeting, and then in between the committee meeting and the actual bonding meeting that the mayor presides over, that there be a window in between, I think is very much needed. Gather additional information, have a chance to look at it a little more. I think in some communities, bonding packages sit around for months in committee meetings before they actually are voted on. I think, you know, I quite frankly think they do it right. They really give the bonding question a lot of consideration before they vote on it. I think here, it seems to me, am I in my sixth year? I'm in my sixth year on the council? Wow. Those bonding things just get rushed through. Bang, bang, do them. Got to get them done. And sometimes we are at the 11th hour on something because we're going to miss a deadline because, unfortunately, one of our people that in preparing the document just quite didn't get around to it. And no, I'm not casting
no,
that.
No, not her. I think I heard an amen over
this
there.
There have been some, there's a lot of people that you can look at to say who held it up. Well, we've been working on this for months. Great. Thank you. You've been working on it for months. Yeah. I'm the one that votes on this. We're the ones that vote on it. How about giving us some of that consideration? Oh, we've been working on it for months. You don't vote on it. We vote on it. So, and then, you know, we have the gun pointed at us that we have to make the decision right away, or else we're going to lose that grant, or we're going to, you know, the matching grant that comes along with it, or we're going to lose a special financing package that comes along with it, or we're going to have some serious penalties if we don't get this package in by tomorrow morning. Out of, you know, it has to be signed and dated tomorrow morning, or else we're in serious trouble. So I think the idea of doing this, I just don't know whether 3 days is needed, or whether, when you think about the gymnastics of how it would work, so you would do it on a Monday, the mayor holds her meeting on a Wednesday night. If you did it on a Monday night, then I think that brings you down to 48 hours in between, right? Or is that still, that would be 48 hours, not 3 days. So I think that's important. I also think, though, along with this, that we must have the information in our hands. We have to have the entire bonding package in our hands when we get our council package. So on that Friday before, we have to have it before the meeting actually starts. We have to have it over the weekend. So I don't know how you fix that to make sure that we get our stuff so we can review it over the weekends. But I would, I think 2 days is probably better than three in terms of how it would work. If you leave it this and the meeting's still on a Wednesday night, and you say 3 days, then that means it's that you're, that means you're having like the Thursday night before, something like that.
Maybe 48 hours.
Yeah, so that's the only thing I would suggest.
Alderman Schulworthy?
Yeah, just to respond to that, listen, any time is better than 30 seconds or 10 minutes, which we get now. So if it's the will of the body for 2 days, okay, sure. As you mentioned, though, New Britain is two things. This council and the mayor are empowered with tremendous responsibility that most other communities in the state don't have when it respects to bonding. And that light on the second note, it does take time. A lot of towns, most towns, I don't know the number, but I would say the vast majority of towns, the council or legislative body, including if it's a first selectman or whatnot, need to approve something, and then it goes to referendum.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm okay with that.
That goes to another whole step, right? So you may have voted for something, and then it goes to referendum. In which case, people, so sometimes that's what gets me frustrated sometimes when people say, oh, you need to act on this tonight or something, the world's going to, well, you know, how does the rest of the state manage to say we're going to act on this, and then they wait 4 months before it gets passed or doesn't pass at the referendum level?
Berlin's High School failed twice at referendum.
So
the bonding,
so
to that.
48 hours, you know, given us the heads up the week before, I wouldn't be opposed to, but if it's, but anything, but that night when we run through 20 different resolutions, and you illustrated the point, if you'd like to amend it to be 48 hours, that'd be fine. If you want to make it 7 days, I'd be fine with that too.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Alderman Carlozzi.
Thank you, sir. The reason why I'm saying 48 hours is because of how we generally do our meetings. We're usually here on that Monday night. We're in caucus, but we can, you know, add a bond for that, you know, three or four times a year. We can add a bonding meeting and then go into caucuses. If you make it 7 days out, now you just added a whole nother meeting, and who knows how that looks on the, you know, how that works with the calendars and all that. Because that's usually not necessarily a meeting night at City Hall. Do you know what I'm saying? I'd like to make an amendment, if I may, that strike the words three and the numerical number three, and just the word two, and then in parentheses the numerical two, under paragraph C.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Alderman Schulworthy. Discussion on the amendment.
I just think it's a little easier to work with.
Can I speak to that?
Yeah,
just
Alderman
to,
Salerno.
And I not being on the committee, but I'm listening to both the arguments, and I totally agree. I mean, I don't think that bonding issues should be, you know, thrown at us willy-nilly and last minute by anybody. And I don't think, I always don't think that's intentional. I think that it happens because of the circumstances, the market changes. We know that to correct something, and it has to happen. But I'm wondering if it's worthwhile to change, rather than fix it hours or days, put in some spectrum of possibility that it must be before but no longer than, something, some language that would address that. so that, for instance, let's say it does two things. One is it keeps our body to have the opportunity. It doesn't mean everybody's going to read it. They should, but the idea is that, right, that's the intent. The other is it places the bounding council knows to also know they have some responsibility to the legislative body. You know, I don't, in some cases they can't, but there are other things that they can. There's nothing wrong with everybody else pre-planning, not making the assumption they can go ahead and do something on the, you know, if there's something that has to be accomplished because we've had circumstances kind of like that the last year or so that I felt really made sense that had to be done. So maybe, I don't know how you'd work it out, but if you look at the schedule, and maybe it doesn't have to be, again, another example, not being done right away, but to say, no later than and no earlier than. So it allows a period of time, for instance, if it gets caught in the middle of a non-council session.
Oh, so you're saying some flexibility in when the committee meeting would meet?
Yeah, you can give a limitation of time, but still say, but it can't be any earlier than. For instance, it might be better not to be earlier than 48 hours, but as much as up to 4 days, or I don't know how many days we'd be able to do that. So you're inclusive of the weekend as well. I think that was your comment, Alderman Pelosi, that, you know, it'd be nice if we read this stuff. I'll be the first to admit, I do not read my council stuff all the time as soon as the police officer knocks on my door at 7:30 in the morning and rings the bell, by the way. arrest me. So it's a concern that we need that leeway time. To me, I think it makes some sense to give us that flexibility. I don't know. I really don't know or care how
this
anyone else feels about that, other than to think.
But
about
this
it.
Is talking about the actual meetings. You're talking about the receipt of the materials. I think
that's what I mean.
Yeah, you're talking about the receipt of materials. This is so. This motion right now is about the actual meeting time. There's nothing that I think the materials is maybe the materials should be in here. I don't know.
Well,
but that's what I'm saying. That it's about the meeting time is being dictated by the information that's being provided.
Right.
So consequently, if you want the information to be provided, again, there might be circumstances where it can't. But I don't know. I'm the freshman here. So the idea is that there are times, though, when it does come forward, we get in that position and we pass it. We have some reservations or questions. No one really looks really smart when we ask questions. we kind of like a lot of questions, but only because we haven't had time to digest it. So, and I usually defer to the people who ask the questions because they know more than I do anyway. But I think to put that into context, that's just a thought for the committee to consider. Maybe you can't work it out right now, but again, do we have to have that today either?
So how would we word something along the lines
makes
of,
sense?
Because I would like the materials at a minimum when I get my package over that weekend, and
that's
I usually get it Friday night. By the way, at about 7:30 or 8 o'clock at night, not at 7:30 in the morning. I don't know who's coming to harass you at that hour in the morning, but
officer, what's his name?
It depends on how many calls they have the day
right,
before.
Right, right, right,
right. Oh, I
okay.
So. Just so you know.
Well, on the amendment.
Alderman Chorley.
Thank you. On the amendment, I guess, I hear Alderman Salerno's point. It's a good one. Interesting. Something to think about, I think. So what you're saying is maybe no, shall not be held any earlier than 7 days prior. No earlier than 7 days to a vote, or if, you know, sooner than 2 days before the bonding meeting, some window of time in there. But the fact of the matter is, whatever date that is that we make, that window is.
It'll always be the shortest.
You will not get any the information, the package, the whatever, the supplemental, even the conversations with them. You won't get it until the meeting. So if, as a practical reality, for those of us who've been up there long enough, at the meeting is when you might get the what's on the agenda. You might get the notice that we're going to talk about such and such ballpark, such and such bond swap, such and such something. And what are the financial implications? None of the, you know, so we'll get the notice, we'll get that notice. But you won't get that information until that meeting happens.
I just thought about something.
Carlos.
Sorry, Mr. Chairman. I just thought about something. So our bond council comes to the committee meeting.
Mm-hmm.
if we have a committee meeting, quote, on a Monday,
yep,
they have to come,
mm-hmm,
and then they have to come again at the meeting which the mayor calls on that Wednesday. So they're making two appearances.
Mm-hmm.
Do they get paid
by the hourly appearance?
Are they hourly, or are they on retainer? Do they get paid based on the bond? Does anybody have the answer to how they're paid?
Alderman Jordan.
Generally, there's a retainer agreement with the bond council.
I don't know how they're paid. I can tell you that I had a conversation with Becky Salerni about this amendment, and that was one of her points. It was always a matter of convenience because bond council could be at the committee meeting and at the council meeting on the same night instead of having to.
Well, convenience is one thing. I'm asking about.
I don't know what they're paid.
Now I'm asking about finances.
I don't know what they're paid. I don't know how they're paid. You'd have to ask Becky that. The other thing I think you guys should consider is if there is a timeline on one particular bonding issue, you're saying no sooner than 2 days. Well, what if it's, you know, there's an exception to that and something's got to be done sooner? I mean, are you going to have any language which allows for an exception?
Right.
Because then you can't have it sooner than 2 days. And if you have something where, I don't know the issues because I don't get involved
in that
stuff.
Like an emergency bond?
Yeah,
but I don't know that you can even draw.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
There's nothing that you wouldn't know at least 3 days ahead of time.
Yeah, I don't know those issues. I don't know. I mean, I would definitely ask Becky that question just to be on the safe side because you might want to build in an exception just in case.
Yeah, market volatility is a lot.
I mean, and the other thing is that I would imagine that any bonding issue requires 2/3, or is the bonding committee the entire
council?
Bonding
is 2/3.
Is the bonding committee the entire council?
Not the subcommittee.
Oh, not the subcommittee, okay.
When it goes to the full meeting,
mm-hmm,
then it needs 2/3
okay
of vote, and it is the entire council.
Okay.
Yes. The subcommittee.
I thought maybe that was another reason they had it on the same night.
No, the subcommittee is made up the members of the committee on administration, finance, and law, and two of the members who are appointed by the mayor from the board of finance and taxation.
Okay.
Generally, they're retainer agreements with bond council. Not generally, they are retainer agreements. You're selected as bond council, and the mayor is the sole decision by the charter to make the decision of who bond council is. It is a sought after position by law firms. There's only a few that are capable of doing it in the state, and it's usually the big. It's the big shots. It's the big ones, because of the insurance that's required. You are going out and selling notes out to the marketplaces, and they want to. Wall Street wants to make sure. In any case, those insurance requirements are hefty as far as dollars. Concern. So it's your mom and pop shops, lawyer firms are not usually, they don't have the capacity to be able to be bond counsel because they can't carry the insurances that come along with it. Could it be an inconvenience? Yeah. Have I ever had an experience where if something didn't get, where something absolutely needed to get bonded and when nobody knew that it was coming, like they just drafted everything up in 48 hours? No. Have we known to Alderman Salerno's point, for a month or two, we need to do this, and at that point, that night, it's either you need to do now, you need to do this that time, but can it be scheduled, can this be postponed for another month? And the answer is no, right? Well, you've been through that. No, we'd really rather you not. I mean, we really think they wouldn't be here if they didn't think that we needed to act on it that night.
We have to trust the judgment of that this market volatility at a certain point, maybe not in 2015, it could be in 2020. I mean, we're not talking about stable market economies anymore. Look at Greece.
So let me clarify that. That shouldn't be confused with granting the treasurer and the mayor and the bond council, well, really the treasurer and the mayor, to authorize the issuance and to authorize them to execute things, which we do. We do authorize them to do things, but that's not always the case. That they used to have to call a special meeting, and it would before we authorize the treasurer to sign off, the city treasurer to have it. The city council would have to do, Mary, you may remember some of these days where yeah, this whole city council, we need a special meeting because we have to execute this swap, and it needs to happen in the next 48 hours or 24 hours, and you've got to, we're not around. You don't have a quorum for the city council, but the city council needs to get there, and it was, that was tricky. But now
the mayor can issue a warrant on that, right? I mean, if necessary.
Well, a warrant requires.
It doesn't happen anymore because now we authorize, the language of the state statutes has changed, and the treasurer has the authority, and we authorize the treasurer.
It could be handcuffed and brought here.
Or her, now, sole capacity, we authorize her to execute it on our behalf. So we give them permission, we give her permission to do it as the changes in the state statutes have happened. But that's how it used to be. That is how it used to be. When the interest rate hit, call a special meeting, everybody's got to get in here real quick. And then you could have the debate on whether or not to vote, you know, vote for something or not, but it was usually a good deal, obviously, you wouldn't do it.
Or if you don't want to show up, you'll be handcuffed and arrested and brought here.
Well, that's happened too in our history too, right?
So this is a discussion on the amendment.
So, you know, I will support, I'm going to vote to support the amendment, but if I, if we find out.
You made it, so you should.
Huh?
You made it, so you should.
Yeah, no, well, no. No, the reason why I'm saying that is because if we find out that we've just doubled the expenses on the corporation council, I mean, on the bond council, then, you know, that's something that we probably need to think about. But I'm going to assume, as Alderman Trueworthy said, that they're paid on retainer, they're on a retainer basis. And quite frankly, I'm sorry if it's an inconvenient for them, but if it is an inconvenient, then they can step aside and we'll find somebody else to do it. And I don't think that'll be the case. So, and I like Bruce Chudwick a lot. I think he's a great guy. But I'm sorry, you got to come here twice during that week, then you come twice. So I will support it unless Becky says, "Listen, you're paying these guys big bucks, and you're going to be paying them twice." And then that may cause me to reconsider when it comes to back to the council.
Mr. Chair, just through you, is there an urgency on this to have to take a look at the details of that?
We'll find out.
Like
well, this is our only meeting of the month, so if we don't.
I think it can go back to council.
Huh?
I think it can go back to council and you can make the changes on the floor.
Yeah, we can.
Oh, different than the last issue.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, much, much different, yeah.
So, any other discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The amendment carries. Discussion on the resolution as amended once. Alderman Chouard.
Just to point, I don't know the dollar amounts, but if it, I anticipate that will be an argument for why this shouldn't happen. I do anticipate a little bit of pushback. I'd be honest with you, probably from finance, because everyone up here has had that interaction, regardless of whoever the finance director was or who was in the finance office, that, you know, we feel. It's a sensorious attention. Sometimes we feel like we don't get the information quite quickly enough, and they feel like they're doing it as quickly as they can, and I'm sure that's the case. Mary may be able to, the corporation council may be able to, even if it were an hourly rate, you know, bond council's in excess of $30,000, $50,000, $100,000 a year. An hourly rate is, even on this stuff, is their meeting, let's put it this way, the 2 hours that they spend here with us is not where they make their money. They may be $300 or $180 or $200, I'm not sure what they bill out, even if it were an hourly rate. But in the grand scheme of things, the $50,000 or $100,000 or $150,000 a year that bond council makes from the city of New Britain is pretty inconsequential to their overall fees. Is it a matter, is $180 inconsequential? No. But is it a convenience issue for the most part? In my viewpoint, yes.
Any other discussion? My only issue with this is just to make sure that we don't put ourselves in a position, and I don't think we will, where we may have some emergency situation and we need to authorize something immediately and we can't do it. But that's not been the case in my relatively brief time on the council, so I don't think that'll be an issue. But if somebody were to come up and say, "Hey, you can't do this because if, you know, Allen Street collapsed, we need to authorize a bond," and opinion that night.
It's gonna take more than 48 hours just to draft up the papers.
Well, you may be right.
You know, I mean, the attorneys will take, they can't just pop that out in one day.
If that's a concern that comes up, I'm more than willing to have ready for the next, on the council agenda, something that says, you know, on a petition, a two-thirds vote, two-thirds membership, or by a majority of members of the common council, that provision be waived. You know, as we can petition to the town clerk or whatever to have that provision waived, and so be it. Just don't want it to be regular course, par for the course.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is referred to the full council with a favorable recommendation.
Motion to adjourn.
Seconded by Alderman Chorley. Meeting is adjourned at 8:27 p.m.
I know, huh? I said this would be a short meeting.
Yeah, you jinxed us.
You know?
Don't ever say that.
I'm never.